For a few weeks, we've been taking a look at life at the crossroads. There are those points in life where you hit a decision-making point. And you've either got to say yes or no, or you've got to choose left or right. You're not really sure what to do. You would really like to know from God, what is it, God, you want? You'd like to cooperate with God in the process. And we've been taking a look at some of the key concepts in the Scriptures about those kinds of times. When you hit the crossroads, there are some things that you need to know. Today we're going to be taking a look at the importance of using your head. It's very easy, particularly for guys, to use their heads more like a battering ram. You know, trouble comes up, you just lower your head and charge. God gave you this thing on top of your shoulders for more than just to have something, you know, something pretty to walk around with. The Lord gave you a mind and made you very different from the creatures of the fields. He gave you not only some instincts, God gave you the ability to look at life and evaluate it, and to make decisions based on what you see. Whenever you deal with God's will in the Bible and how the Lord leads us in decision-making, you understand that using your head is a part of the process. Now, there's more to it than that. And we're going to talk about prayer and then faith in time to come. But using your head really is a part of the process. God, as He leads us at different points in our lives, is interested not only in showing us what His will is, God's also interested in maturing the person that we are. Whenever you have a little baby, you know, you take rotary care of it. You're constantly around it. You feed it every bite it takes. You start off on bottle, or you breastfeed it, you're putting solid food in its mouth. And after a while, it can sort of start to guide a spoon a little bit. But you just put every bite that goes in. You take care of the child like that. As they get older, they do more and more for themselves. Along about 15, you should not be putting every bite in their mouth. Sometimes problems come along that cause that to have to happen. But normally, by 15, they ought to be doing a few things for themselves. It's the same with decision-making. Whenever you're raising little ones, you're very directive with small children. They just don't know a whole lot. As they begin to grow a little bit older, you give them a little more latitude in decision-making so they can learn to make decisions. And then you increase that, and then you increase it some more. What you want to do is one day you want an adult here who knows how to evaluate the facets of life and make good decisions. So the latitude increases. Whenever I started walking with the Lord very graciously just did all kinds of things to help me out. I would pray for guidance and things would just suddenly appear. I'd ask for help and direction and boy, stuff would happen within a week. I thought this was the way it was always going to go on. What I began to find out was, though, that the further I walked with the Lord, the more He involved me in the process, just like a good dad raising his kids, so that as time went on, I got more and more involved. By 1974, my wife and I were praying about whether we should move from the West Coast to Fort Worth. And, boy, the longest I'd ever prayed about a decision before that and tried to work things out was a month. We started praying at the end of January, the 1st of February. And it just seemed one day it would seem yes, another day it would seem no. In April, some circumstances arrived that gave us clear indication we were to stay put. So we stayed put. Then in May, all those circumstances changed. So we didn't know what we were going to do. Finally, around the 1st of July, we came to the point the decision had to be made. And from everything we could tell from what God was doing, we decided that we needed to move here. So we began the journey to Fort Worth. That process went on for, February is the second month, July is the seventh. That went on for 5 months. We'd prayed for a month before. Now that in this process, we'd worked through all kinds of stuff. It was 5 months. I thought, well, I've been to the top of the mountain now. Surely this is the hardest I'm going to have to work. All the decisions will be a lot easier than this. The next time we had to pray through a major decision, it was 10 months. I'm scared to pray about another one. God has his timetable. God has his way of showing us. He's very much interested, as we move along in decision-making, though, to grow us and develop us personally. So sometimes he delays. He especially wants us to learn to use our heads, and he wants us to learn faith. We'll talk more about faith later. But today, about using your head, it's very important. In the Living Bible, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, any enterprise is built by wise planning, see, that's using your head, becomes strong through common sense, that also has to do with using your head, profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts, that has to do with using your head. Now what it's saying is, life gets a whole lot better if you really engage your brain rightly in what you're doing in life. Now, particularly as you hit the point where you hit the crossroads, it's very important to use your head. Now, again, there's more to it than that, but it's very important to use your head. What we tend to do is we tend to come to those points of decision in life, and we just really feel strongly about some things. So we go with the feelings. Or we're just really zealous. There's some things that have been on our hearts for a long time, and we're going to do this thing no matter what. Or we're just really sincere in our choice, and we make our choices. Scripture says a man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Now, the idea is this. If you make a stupid decision, if you make a dumb decision, if no matter how sincere you were or how zealous you were, it was the wrong thing, you still get ruined by it. And what we do in those times, whenever we, just out of our zeal or our sincerity, we jump into one of these things. What we do is we turn around and then we holler at God, why did you let me do this? What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Actually, there's nothing wrong with him. We're the ones who set this whole thing up. A man's own folly ruins his life. There, God does lead through feelings. God does lead sometimes in other ways. But it's just very important to use your head. Some thoughts out of the scriptures on just analyzing the situation in front of you, actually engaging your brain in your decisions. Now, the first one is this. Commit to do things God's way. This is very important. This is a starting point. If you're here and you're not sure about the reality of God, or you're trying to connect with Jesus Christ, you're headed in the right direction. Maybe you need to get some more facts. One of the things that you discover as time goes on is that whenever you commit to do things God's way, you're committed to a way that's protected. Decide in advance to do things God's way, counting on Him to come through. I'm going to do it your way, Lord. I'm going to count on you to come through. There's a verse in the New Testament, John 7:17, where Jesus talks to the group of people around him. And he's talking, they're questioning his teaching. And he's talking about his teaching, but he makes an interesting statement. He says, if any of you really determines to do God's will, then you will certainly know whether my teaching is from God or is merely on my own. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you determine to do God's will, that's beforehand, then you'll come to the point that you understand, that you see, that you know. Discernment, the ability to see, is conditioned on your will. It's not just your eyes or your ears or your intellect. Your ability to see accurately is conditioned on what your will is, whether you choose to really do the will of God. How many of you have seen The Matrix? Okay, a lot of you. It's a great guy movie with a strong romantic line in it. It got nearly everybody. In The Matrix, there's a world that everyone lives in that's a total illusion. Every now and then there are these little tremors that make a person suspect something's going on that's not real. In reality, everyone lives in a baby in a tube, and the energy they produce as they're fed and as they're taken care of produces energy like a battery for the machines that rule the world to run off their energy. So everybody's just basically a battery. But the machine runs this illusion in everyone's mind about reality. They're going to work, they're going to church, they're doing daily life. The hero is a guy named Neo, and he has these sort of tremors every now and then, and then he encounters some people who challenge him. We're going to look at a clip out of the Matrix on this very issue of discernment, your ability to see is conditioned on your choices, your willingness to choose. Take a look.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Offering is the truth, nothing more.
If you really are willing to do God's will, then you'll know. See, what we want is we tend to want God to sort of raise the curtain just a little bit and let us see what would be. And then we'll decide if we want to do it or not. But it doesn't work that way. You have to decide to do the will of God. Then when you decide to do the will of God, you get to know. And the choice is yours. Decide to do things God's way. Decide to do God's will. Count on Him to come through. Once you do, then you'll start to see things in perspective. Until you decide to do that, you will only confuse yourself. You'll keep yourself deceived. If you want to commit to do things God's way, you need to root out wrong motives. They're just going to bring you trouble. Sometimes we arrive at the crossroads and we really want to move a certain direction because something going on the inside of us. It's not a question really of what's the will of God, but what's going on inside me. Here are a couple of them in the scripture. Resentment kills a fool. Well, sometimes we hit a major decision point. And we're angry at certain people. We resent certain people. And we want to do things a certain way to get even with them or to hurt them. Resentment kills a fool. You let resentment drive you, it'll only hurt you. Envy slays the simple. Well, sometimes we hit the crossroads and we're so in desire of certain things. Other people have them. We don't. We want this. We'd like to show them. If you want to operate out of envy, that's just going to hurt you. Don't live in denial about your motives. Admit them. Take them to God. Ask His help with them. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. Well, sometimes we hit the crossroads. We hit the point where we've got to make a major decision. And really, the truth is, we're just sort of lazy. We don't want to take a hard way. We want an easy way. So we hit the crossroads, and we declare the will of God, and it's that easier way. You want to do away. If it's laziness, do away with it. Tell the Lord you'll do His will, and then you can know. But don't protect the laziness under the guise of something else. A greedy man brings trouble to his family. He who hates bribes will live. Boy, sometimes we have the decision-making point. We're just greedy. We want more of what we've got. And then we want it right now. And we just get all in a dither over what we could have. We hit the point, if greed is driving us, is it going to hurt us? It's going to hurt our families. So deal with your motives. Don't let wrong motives drive you. There are others. Trying to get the approval of other people. We hit the decision-making point. And it's just so important to us to have these certain people approve us that we're going to take whatever direction it takes to get that approval. Well, you need to let that go. That'll only get you in trouble. Or maybe it's abandoning responsibilities. We have these responsibilities of getting awfully hot in the oven. We want out of there. We hit the decision-making point, and we're going to flee from the responsibilities we have, not really find the will of God. You have to be willing to do His will. If you're willing, then you'll know. The Scripture says, whenever we hide a motive and we try to sort of sneak it past God, we become what the Scripture calls crafty. We become a shrewd person trying to work our little scheme and game God. Whenever you do that, you're just headed for trouble. Scripture says He frustrates the plans of crafty men. He will frustrate you. They're caught in their own traps. He thwarts their schemes. We set up these little schemes, little games to get by God. And it's the game itself that gets us in trouble. So, just take out the wrong motives. If you're really struggling with one, tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm just really struggling with resentment right here. And I need help from You to deal with this thing. Please help me." Because you don't want grief over the past or resentment at someone else to drive your life. Many times, we guide our lives out of the bitterness of the past. An event happens back here that causes this deep pain. Someone hurts us, or we go through a very hard experience, and we have this deep pain. From that point on, we focus on the pain. All we stare at is the hurt that was back then and what they did to us. And basically, we back into the future. We live our lives out of reaction to the past instead of creatively looking for what God wants to do in the future. Let that stuff go. Refuse to do wrong. Root out wrong motives. Refuse to do wrong. Sometimes you hit these major decision points, and particularly if you have a wrong motive, you can see how you could really have what you want if you just sort of cut corners here. Scripture says a fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Now the idea is, you really can put together a lot of money by lying. But the problem is, it becomes the very trap that will do you in. Another one, such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. This is at the end of a passage talking about people who conspire to take others in and harm them. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It, that is the gain, takes away the life of those who get it. This is the story of many a drug dealer. He got his satchel full of money. And he's not dead because somebody else wanted that satchel. You create wrong strategies only to bring upon yourself hurt. So just stay away from the wrong stuff. Don't shave on what's right. Commit yourself to follow the Lord. Scripture says there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. You cannot put together a scheme that will deceive God or overpower God. Whenever he says this way is right, you just walk in it. And if you do, you're okay. And if you don't, you find yourself in trouble. You may succeed for a while, like getting the wealth by lying. But after the success comes the downfall. The integrity of the upright guides them. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. What this is saying is, this verse is saying, is that there are landmines in life, and you can't see where they are. As you walk in integrity, that is, as you do what's right, you step across those landmines and don't even know you stepped over them. People who decide to take the wrong route step on the landmines. Their deceit, the very deceit that they're putting together to get what they want, becomes the thing that blows them up. I don't know how many times in my own life I've decided to do what's right, look back later, and saw the traps that I avoided. I didn't see them at the time, but I wasn't caught in them. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Would you like life? Like prosperity? Nothing wrong with that. Like honor? Sure. How do you get it? You do what's right, and you do what's loving toward people. You just don't cut the edges on what's right. So commit to do things God's way. You count on him to come through. We'll talk about that when we deal with faith. Second, don't get in a rush. It is not good to have zeal without knowledge. Well, we all have zeal. Zeal needs to be balanced with information and understanding. Nor to be hasty and miss the way. It's the same thing twice. You know, we get all zealous for something, we don't have the facts yet. We get in a rush, and like someone moving along a narrow, running along a narrow mountain path, the foot steps off and then you go in a tumble. We miss the way. Now, here's another one. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Now, it's so easy to get in a rush. We hit the decision-making point, the pressure's really on, we got to come up with some decision, and we're just trying to come up with the right thing, and our hearts are really leaning a certain way, and we just feel like we have to do it now. Whenever you get under the pressure to do it now, make sure now is God's time, not just your timetable. You get in a rush, you'll get in a mess. Now, maybe you've heard this speech. If you have to make a decision right now, this offer is only good for today. If you walk out of here and walk through that door, this offer goes away and you'll never be able to have it again. So you need to make a decision right now. Deborah and I have been in those sales presentations. And we adopted a rule years ago that if it was a major decision, financial commitment, whatever, that we were going to pray over it for 3 days at least. And if we couldn't pray for at least 3 days, the answer was no. No matter how good a deal it was, the answer was no. I tell you, friends, that spared us a lot of debt. Now, just that once-in-a-lifetime deal, and it's right here, it's right now. You better jump on it. Well, better pray about it and get a few facts first. Don't get in a rush. There are very few places in Scripture where it says, hurry up and follow God. Over and over again, it says, wait on the Lord. There's a reason for that. He will show, he always shows too late, but right on time. It's too late on our time. Tell you one right on time on his. So just third, get the facts. The facts are your friends. Ask plenty of questions. Read the fine print. If you're going to sign a contract, the fine print contains all the information that's really crucial. You know, the other stuff they put up there, you can read that, but you get caught on the fine print. So pull out your magnifying glass and start going over the fine print. You want to know what you're getting into. Proverbs 18:13 in the Living Bible says it this way. What a shame, yes, how stupid, to decide before knowing the facts. I'll buy that. Okay, we're glad you're going to take it. That's $85,000.
$85,000!
Well, you need to ask the price before you sign on. Read the fine print, ask a lot of questions. over the years, we've had a lot of seminary students come through the congregation. And once they get out of seminary, they finish graduate school, they're anxious to get a job like anybody getting out of school. I've encouraged them, whatever ministry jobs they're going to move into, to ask a lot of questions. And they don't. They tend not to. If you come out of graduate school in any field, you're already in debt. So you got to get a job. And somebody offers you a job, it's a job! What you find out later after you sign on is it's a commitment. And they're going to give you what's in the contract and not what you thought. So you want to ask a lot of questions. I've seen people move to the other end of the country for a job that did not exist. I mean, they got a job. For sure it was a job, but it was nothing near the one they thought they were going to have. So ask questions. Read the fine print. Double check your facts. The information that you're getting, make sure you're understanding it. This is a great time if you're married, husband and wife, to talk over stuff because you see things from different angles. Also, check the sources of your facts. You're going to find out that, particularly in business, a major part of your problem is not what you signed on to do, it's who you signed on with. Now, check the sources of your information. Check the people you're going to be working with. Check the people you'll be around. A simple man believes anything, a prudent man gives thought to his steps. You don't just buy any stuff. People tell you, check things out. Ask questions. The plans of the righteous are just. The advice of the wicked is deceitful. If someone who's a sort of a shady character, I mean, you know their track record, is making some suggestions to you or offering you a deal, I would have serious questions about buying into this thing because of who they are. In our society, we tend to separate what people say from who they are. But who they are produces what they say. So check who as well as what. Think through the consequences of the decision. Scripture is very much in favor of this. Do pros and cons. You know, the prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer for it. Ask yourself, if I make this decision this way, what will be the impacts in my life? Positive and negative. If I make it this way, what will be the impacts in my life? Positive and negative. Every decision comes with pluses and minuses. I've never run into a decision that was all positive. If you get married, you marry pluses and minuses. You know, what you want to do is pick the pluses you like and the minuses you can live with. Nobody's all pluses. Well, some people may be all minuses. I'm not sure about that. But that's just the way life is. You do very well if you find out what the pluses and minuses are beforehand. So, ask some questions. We talked last week about God's will for me. Ask questions like, if I do this thing, if I make it this way, the decision this way, then what will it do to my walk with God? What's going to be the impact on me? Reprogramming my mind. I've got to learn the scriptures and learn to see life from this angle. Will I be time for that? What kind of situation will I be in? Honoring God through my work. Is this the kind of work I can actually honor God with? How about honoring Him through my lifestyle? What about blessing my mate? Sometimes we want to jump into jobs that would be great for us, but the stress they put on the rest of the family is not that good. And what's the total picture? How about raising my kids to know, and not just know, but love God? Will this situation enable me to do that or make it more difficult? How about using my time, my treasure, my talent to advance God's kingdom? What's going to be the impact here? In the long term, that's going to be tremendously fulfilling for me to do that. Will I be able to or not be able to? So, do pros and cons. One of the things that we've done is list the pros and cons the best we can understand it, and then ask God to move them from one column to the other to give us indication. Second thing on consequences, get good advice. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, this is one of those promises that few people are claiming. Plans fail for lack of counsel. The Scripture says, you see a man wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than for him. Now, what that means is, there's not a lot of hope for a fool. If you think you don't need any advice from anybody, there's less hope for you. So as you move into major decisions, find people who have good sense, who know you. Ask, how do you see the impact of this on me and my family? Who know the field? You know, given your awareness of this particular field, whether it's real estate or job market or stock market, whatever, given your awareness of the field, how does this decision look to you? What are the pluses and minuses? What I'm looking for is not someone to tell me what to do. What I'm looking for is perspective. I want to be able to see a bigger picture than I see right now. Because, again, facts are my friends. Many times we don't ask for advice because we feel in our hearts, as soon as I ask for advice, they're going to tell me this is a bad decision, and I want this. Now, think about that. People are going to tell you it's a bad thing to do, and you want it. But we're just wired that way. You know, we get something on our mind, and we're going to have it or die, and then we have it, and then we die. Now, you really need to open up to other people's input and perspective before you jump in the tiger's den. So get perspective. Get advice from other people. Ours is a nation where we're very proud of doing everything ourselves. In reality, other people's perspective is very, very valuable. Don't just take a sociological survey. Now, some people do that. They go to people and they say, now, in your understanding, should I do A or B? And then they go to another person, should I do A or B? Should I do A or B? Finally, they find someone who tells them to do B. That's what they've been wanting to do all along, so they take that one and go with it. Get perspective. You need perspective. God gave you a head to use. He wants you to learn to evaluate decisions from His angle on things. As you do, it'll be a tremendous blessing to you. There's more to decision-making in the will of God than this, but God makes a promise. He says, Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make straight your paths. Trust in Him with all your heart. God, I'm going to do this your way. I'm going to count on you to come through. Don't lean on your own understanding. We want to analyze this stuff. It's not the final court of appeals. Our analysis is not. There's more to this. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Take everything you're doing, your thought life, your work, your money, put it in submission to Him. And then He'll make straight your paths. You may not be able to see around all the curves in life ahead. What you can know, though, is this, that whenever you arrive at that place on the road, it'll be level, and there'll be a way through for you. And then the last part of that promise is, do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you can game God and sneak past Him. Fear the Lord, respect Him, shun evil, just stay away from the wrong stuff. And God will guide. We're going to take a look at other things in the will of the Lord. But He gave you this thing for something more than just look pretty. Learn to use it in your decision making. No matter how much your heart rises to this thing, or no matter what kind of lust you get into over it, if you make the decision, you will live with it. Facts are your friends. Perspective is not your enemy. Get all of it you can. Bring it to the Lord. We'll talk more about faith and prayer. I'd like to lead us in prayer right now. Ben, would you go ahead and come up? If you're here and you've been looking for the Lord, if you'd like more information on how to come to know Him, write it on the blue card. We're going to take those up in a moment. And we'd be glad to get information to you. If you're here and you really already know what you need to do in coming to a commitment to Christ, then we'd encourage you to do it while we pray. Join me in prayer. Father, thank You for Your willingness to show us Your will. We do pray that as we face major decisions, You'd let us see reality like it is. We don't just be caught in the matrix the enemy has foisted on the earth. Illusion, deception. We really would like to be able to see the facts like they are. And so, Lord, we just say to You, Your will be done. Help us figure it out. We will do it. And we ask You, make us wise to do what is right. And in the moments whenever our hearts waffle and we get really tempted to just cut on the corners, bring courage to us to stand firm. And in the moments between now and the time decisions have to be made, grant us patience to wait until you're ready to speak. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen.